there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Okay, we're going to read from the last book of the Old Testament, book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. You're accursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. I will rebuke the locust for you so that it will not destroy the produce of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not be barren, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will count you happy, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we just ask you, Lord, that as your word is proclaimed, as your word is read, that it just gives us a conviction, that it gives us something that penetrates our hearts, that it impresses upon us your way, that we may not forget it, that we may draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Famous event occurred. It hasn't happened in 37 years. American Pharaoh won the Triple Crown. Bob Baffert never deserted this horse. There was some speculation whether he could race or not, but the trainer, Bob Baffert, knew that there was something special about him. He was hurt, had to skip a race or two. He was put through extensive workouts. I mean, the training regimen was brutal. And yet, in the end, he responded to his trainer. And he gave everything that he had. And he ran this race, and he was rewarded. Now, Malachi gives us, in this passage, a message of that sort. You see, the message of Malachi is that God never deserts you. So turn back to God and give rightly to the mission of his church with all you have. That's what we're called to do as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ. See, God reminds Israel of the very existence that they have constantly and always depends on him. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished." It's like the poem with the footprints in the sand. God never leaves our side. And it may seem that way sometimes, but he never does. I am not walking that path that the Lord has given me. It's not him that has turned away. It's me that has turned away from him. God Almighty is distinctly purposeful without change. He doesn't change his mind because something's come up that he hasn't thought about before. Or because he wants to undo something that has run amiss or something like that. Or seek a new way or to retrace his steps. It's not like that. He is the everlasting, unchanging, forever loving God that sustains you, that sustains me, this body even of believers, this church. Sometimes in our finite minds, we can't grasp that. We can't see it. We can't understand why God seems to desert us. But if you're truly faithful, you know that this is not true. He doesn't desert us. He's always with those who believe. He always is, even in the midst of the worst of our circumstances. And so when we experience these circumstances, when we experience a time of drought, we need to trust in God. We need to not turn away and get discouraged. We need to turn to Him and be encouraged. And we need to give with everything we have. Our distress is often caused by our own decisions, which are typically self-centered instead of God-centered. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and you have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? See, in this passage, God is rebuking the Hebrews for their disobedience. This is going into roughly about 400 BC, and they turned away from God's ways. They went their own way. They didn't keep the instructions for holy living that He gave to them. They didn't do it. And even so, God still sustained them out of His great love. God always promises that all we have to do is to change our decision-making line of sight from our own desires to God's desires. That's always what we're looking at. It's always what we preach about, to be God-centered, not self-centered. In that case, and you all know this, whenever you're disobedient, you have to go back to God and you have to repent of it. You have to confess it to Him and repent. And repent is not, there's two different things. Confession is not repentance. Repentance is you confess to God and you turn away from that bad behavior. You stop it. And you turn toward godly behavior. See, in Israel's case, what made it worse for them in 400 BC is they became indignant. They became proud. This was the start of all of these rules that were added to Scripture. To make matters worse, they can't even understand it. You know, they ask God, well, how shall we return? I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. We're doing all these laws, and we've got all these things, and we've even added to them to prove that we're more holy. It's that pridefulness in our response to God that's bad. And the implication in that, when we experience that in our lives, is that, hey, you know, what do you mean we should return to you? You know, you're the one that left us. Don't you feel that way sometimes? But that's not the case. It never is the case to those who believe in Jesus Christ. And so you better be careful then when you argue with God, for He's going to shine the bright light of day on you. He's going to look at you and what you're doing, and if you're complaining about it, He's going to shine the light of truth, and He's going to expose all of your imperfections. And how many of us want to see that? You know, Malachi 8 and 9, he says, will anyone rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, well, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. He's telling Israel in 400 BC. They have turned away from God. They've turned to their own rules and regulations. They've turned to ways that they seem are right and feel are right, and away from God. When the assembly of God's people was organized by God through Moses, when they were in Egypt and coming out of Egypt into the wilderness, when it was organized, He directed them in a particular economy of the church. And that's tithe. And tithe means a tenth. Remember that Genesis through Revelation is this progressive revelation of God. So as we move through, we learn more about God. As we move through the Old Testament, we come to understand God in a greater capacity until the New Testament comes and it reveals that mystery of the Old Testament. And moving through that, what happens is that as Moses goes out in the wilderness and there's these hundreds of thousands of people with him, there is an economy that God impressed upon them. And this economy was related to the tithe. tithe or one-tenth is mentioned more than 31 times in the Old Testament as an offering for God's church, as an offering for his ministry. In Leviticus 27, 30-34, it says, "Thus all the tithe, the tenth of the land, of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. For every tenth part of herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the sons of Israel at Mount Sinai." So this idea of tenth, this idea of giving, is an ancient idea in the economy of God's church. Now, it keeps going further. It keeps getting revealed further. Given to priestly class, it was to fund the ministry of the church, is serving the church. Numbers 18:21, and this is in 1400 B.C. roughly, "To the sons of Levi," and remember, Levi was the tribe that were the priests. They served in the temple. They did all the things in the temple for the other tribes, and they didn't have any possession of land. When they moved to the promised land, they had no possession. So the other tribes were to take care of them with this tenth. So it's toward the ministry of God. This is set up in the economy of God in the Old Testament. And the priestly class was given this tenth of all of these things. "To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance. In return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting," the tabernacle that was movable throughout the wilderness, remember, where they go from place to place. And so they were the ones that prepared the tabernacle. They were the ones that did the worship in the tabernacle. And so they were also obligated to tithe. This is an interesting part. They were obligated to tithe to the treasury of the Lord. Numbers 18:26. "Moreover, you shall speak to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the sons of Israel the tithe which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe." So the priestly class is not exempt of the tithe, of the giving to the ministry of the church. The giving to the church was to be out of thankfulness to God. Thankfulness for what he had given the people. Remember, they had come out of Egypt. At this time we're talking about here in Deuteronomy and Numbers and so forth, Leviticus. They had come out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness for 40 years. And yet God is providing for them. He's giving them bread from heaven, the manna, right? He's giving them water that came from the rock, from the springs in the middle of the desert. He has provided for them. He did not desert them. And so their tithe to the tenth was to honor God in the tabernacle. And so it's done out of thankfulness for what God had given the people. Now here's an important piece. I mean, you've heard tithe before and you've heard tenth. It didn't stop there. It didn't stop at one-tenth. Deuteronomy 12:6-10. "There you shall bring your burnt offering and sacrifices," it's in addition, "your tithes, the contribution of your hand, work, your votive offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. There also you and your household shall eat before the Lord your God and rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you." So you're getting to something a lot more than just this idea of a tenth of your income. It's a lot more than that. Jesus speaks of the tithe, though, and he condemns it by the attitude of the heart in wrongful giving, because there's a difference. Jesus speaks in Matthew 23, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence." Giving is not a duty. Giving is not a duty. Giving is a privilege. Giving is a privilege to give back to God. In Luke chapter 8, you've heard chapter 18. You've heard this one before. Jesus is talking in a parable, and he says, hey, two men went into the temple to pray. And one was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers and unjust and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. There is a right way and there is a wrong way to give to God. It's got to come out of your being. It's not a duty. It is a privilege. If your faith and you understand God's work in your life, then I just pray and please, you know, try to understand me that this blessing that he pours out to all of us here in each of your lives and everything that's done, and I know, you know, there's some bad things, there's good things, and it's human nature to think of the bad things, but there's so much good that God has blessed all of us with. And so we have to understand that. We have to take that into our hearts. We have to realize that day to day. And if you do, you understand that it is indeed a privilege to give back to God. It's not a duty. And it's way more than a tenth. Proudful giving is as bad as not giving enough. Our giving is a direct link to how we see and worship God. John Calvin said, God designed the first fruits and other things to be offered to him that men might thereby be continually reminded that all things were his and that whatever they received from his hand was sacred to him because his will was to be thus worshiped. And at the same time, to keep as his own whatever belonged to his service. This, then, is the reason why he now complains of being defrauded by the tenth. You see that? God is hitting them where it hurts. God is hitting them in their pocketbooks, their checking accounts, their savings. Billy Graham once said that, give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook and I will tell you where their heart is. Could you bear that? You know, could we whip out our checkbooks now and share them with each other and show what we're doing? Convicting, isn't it? It's convicting. Convicts me. The robbery of God was the robbery of true worship in a God-centered life of obedience. Obedience to Christ, which will show in how you spend your money. It will. A life of a loving relationship with God recognizes his divine sovereignty. And once again, it gets back to that. It's understanding that everything in creation is his. Everything in creation he has made. Everything that we have, from the atoms in our bodies to the clothes we wear, the hair in our heads, the glasses, whatever it is, the book, all of this. It's all God's. If you recognize the sovereignty of God, his mercy and kindness and his love for you, he promises you an abundant life. God does not change. He holds fast to his promises. He will hold fast to his promise. He wants to bless you in abundance for your good. Now, so it says in Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And thus put me to the test, said the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. I will rebuke the locust for you so that it will not destroy the produce of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not be barren, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will count you happy, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. It's God's promise. Now, what God is getting at, and this is important to understand, because this is not the prosperity gospel. It has nothing to do with if I give $1,000 to the church, then I should be blessed back with $10,000. He's getting at something else. If you offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, you will be blessed in abundance. So it's more than just money. It's more than just checkbook. In Romans 12:1, he says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Once again, this spiritual service of worship, it's a spiritual service of understanding the sovereignty of God in your life and praising Him for it and the privilege of giving back to Him. For the body of Christ, for the Christian, this ought to be ingrained in our lives, and we need to make it more so. We got to be careful to recognize that God doesn't promise material blessings, but spiritual blessings. The productive soil of a heart, in many of a few of Jesus' parables, with Christ is going to produce fruits of the Spirit. In Mark chapter 4, verse 20, those are the ones on the whom the seed was sown on good soil. The word of God in the heart of good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. It's part of God's promises. We all know Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You see, God's abundance is going to be given to you as you come close to Him and honor His ways. And that's in everything you do. That's your house. That's the car you drive. That's the money in your checking account. That's the income you have coming in. Is that all honoring God as a privilege of the blessings that He has given you, a privilege of giving back to Him? That's what giving is about. To conclude this message, beloved, I am as convicted of this as perhaps you are. We have been placed in this church not of our own accord. I mean, I look at the faces out here, and I see some of you have been here for years. Some of you have come from places I don't even know how you got here, from the hinterlands of West Virginia, you know, to you know, the Crafton area, in the north side, in the, you know, Beaver County. I mean, how do you get here? A pilgrimage from Arizona, you came back to. Isn't that something? God has put us together. We are the church. We are the church, placed here by the providence of God. And as productive members of this assembly of God's people, you must inspect your hearts, and you have to join in the body of Christ to continue the mission of His church. And I see many of you here, I know you do that. And I know you give of your time and of your treasure and of your talents. But just inspect yourself. Nourish spiritual growth. Spread the gospel. Make disciples. Share in fellowship. That's what we're supposed to be all about. God is calling you into a loving relationship with Him. And as you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, your giving back to God is going to reflect your faith in Him and what He has given you. Amen. The message of Malachi is that God never deserts you. So turn back to God and give rightly to the mission of His church with all that you have. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we do thank You, Lord, that You do indeed. You have created us. You have moved us in this place and time to this church to be part of this ministry that You have, Lord. And it is indeed an awesome ministry. Let us all participate in it with all that we have. Lord, we are the body of Christ. And our desire, Lord, is to reach out into those areas where hearts are broken, where people are struggling, where we can be light and salt to others to share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That even though we're small in number, we can still do mighty things, just as You did with 12 people. Change the world. You gave people hope and new life. So gather us together in unity today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.